Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Today's big mover in the markets and for market sentiment is the sudden jump in crude oil prices. If you want to see how the impact of geopolitical events on the markets, you can't see a more instantaneous impact, that is, more so than in the commodity space, and especially with oil. After the recent attacks on the Saudi oil fields that compromised about 5% of global output today, we saw crude oil and Brent crude jump significantly. Brent crude, for one, up by 8.8%, and WTI crude up by about 8% in today's session alone. But how kind of impact will this have for broader markets, and will this actually, and how much of a sustained impact will this have into other asset classes, such as bonds and stocks, for one? Well, to talk more about these and also what's shaping up to be a rather busy week in the monetary policy space, we're joined today on Primetime by Stephen Innes, the market strategist for Asia Pacific with AxiTrader, who joins us live from Bangkok. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today, and good afternoon.
Thanks, JP. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Stephen, as you probably were rather preoccupied this morning also by those developments over the weekend in Saudi Arabia. We saw the recent attacks compromise about 5.7 million barrels a day of oil and also pushing oil prices up. Can you talk to us about whether or not this is going to be what's going to be the big determinants for whether or not oil will sustain this climb, or will we start to see oil prices normalize in the coming days based on everything that's developed so far today?
Well, you know, the big thing is it's a lot of oil. You know, 5.7 million barrels per day is a lot. That's going to affect prompt contracts quite significantly. Market, we believe, is correctly priced in around $10 for the short-term reaction, but where the impact sits. However, it's not clear at the moment to the extent of the damage. We've been hearing that about a third of the capacity is going to be up and running by the end of the day, but we still don't know what's left, how much more is going to needed in the repair process. So that's the one thing, to bring oil back online again. But what's important here for oil prices in general is that this risk premium added to oil is going to hang around for a little bit, because there's going to be this concern that now that the vulnerabilities have been exposed, that there's potential for more attacks. So naturally, oil traders are going to continue to hedge for another possible terrorist attack over the short term. So that's going to keep oil prices elevated for at least the next few weeks. However, we have to look at reality here. Market's oversupplied. You know, we're in the midst of a downturn in global economy right now. So it's a short term, long term. I think what we're going to see unfold is this is going to, unless we do have a military action from the U.S., which is pretty much unlikely, we're probably going to revert more towards the downside as the risks of a actual shooting war start to diminish. Remember, we had more evidence of a dovish approach from the U.S. after firing John Bolton. Mm-hmm. But if Iran is proved that there is a smoking gun there, then things could turn incredibly nasty. But we don't think that's going to happen right now, because we don't have the exact proof at the moment. So all we can do is trade on hypotheticals and where we think things are going right now.
Well, the picture is still shaping out as we get more details and events, and we've seen the impact on the commodity space today. But what kind of impact do you think this might have on Singaporean and ASEAN markets and the economy? As we know, a lot of different ASEAN markets and economies respond differently to a spike in oil prices also. Can you help us get a better picture of the mosaic and how it's affecting markets in the ASEAN and also here in Singapore at the moment, and how they might trade based on these new developments in the oil space?
Sure. Well, obviously, if prices stay high, that's going to be sort of like a tax on consumers, because that'll eventually feed through to the gas pump, pushing prices higher. So that's the one thing. It's going to weigh on, you know, consumer spending. That's the one drag. On the equity markets, it's quite interesting, because when we do have higher oil prices driven by demand, it's usually very supportive for Asia Pacific currencies. But when it's a supply crunch, it's not so clear cut whether this will be supportive for general equity markets. But looking at certain constituents within the Singapore market that are tied to oil, this isn't really all that negative, having oil prices higher than lower. So there is some semblance that this could play out positive for more oil and gas industries that make up a decent section of the SGX. However, we're looking at economies in general in Asia. Most are net importers of oil. You know, if we look at Vietnam, Philippines, India, for instance, just import so much oil that they're going to be negatively affected. Whereas if we look at Malaysia, they're one of the few net exporters where their GDP constitutes about 2.7% of GDP. So it's actually quite favorable. So it is a mixed bag here, JP. But I think what I'm trying to suggest here that higher oil prices aren't necessarily bad for equity markets. If we look at U.S. markets, for instance, right now, higher oil prices correlate very favorably over the medium term with higher prices. So it doesn't mean you should sort of pack up your equity position and head for the hills. Of course, you have to be cognizant of, you know, global escalating geopolitical risk. If we start moving towards a shooting war, then that becomes a different story. But at the current level it is right now, I think we just have to be very, very careful and not lose the plot that we're still in discovery right now.
And we're still speaking to Mr. Stephen Inn as the market strategist for APAC with AxiTrader. I want to touch on the fact that you've mentioned a potential shooting war twice now as we've in our conversation. And yes, we don't, we're not entirely sure that that might happen also. But, you know, humor me for a bit, Stephen. If it does get to this point where we start to see boots to the ground, perhaps bullets flying also, I mean, how big of an impact will this have on markets? For one, we might see some upside also on oil prices, but that could be negated by a different flavor of geopolitical uncertainty, won't it?
Well, I think you'd have to price in 85 plus in oil right away if there was an escalation towards boots in the ground. That would be an immediate response. I would assume gold would rocket quite higher, would rocket over anywhere. We'd probably head towards 1600. I'm not sure if we'd like to get there, but we'd certainly head to that direction. We look at gold's reaction right now. Gold and general markets have been trending mostly off of positive geopolitical risk. Today was a surprise. Like last week, we all market position was getting really constructive. And we'd actually seen a pairing of defensive positioning. And even today, we've seen a pairing of defensive positioning again after the run-up in gold to just below 1,512. Markets are actually selling gold. We just broke 1,500. So to me, it suggests the market continues to focus on a trade war detente. That's the big elephant in the room. Not this perhaps one-off crazy terrorist attack that we had over the weekend. So again, it's about prioritizing what is important here. Is it a one-off attack, or is it should we be focusing on the bigger picture, which is a potential move towards trade war neutrality? I'm probably too bullish for my own good on this because I think the parties are actually sort of really leaning positively on this because of the economic slump that's occurred both in China and the U.S., a burdening slump that's occurring in U.S., primarily in the manufacturing side. Because for me, the most important element in the U.S. economy that the president most wants to safeguard is manufacturing. After all, that's the whole point of the trade war, is to increase manufacturing in the U.S. If it's not working, we've got to change tactics. This is why I think we're going to see a tariff detente and possibly an unwinding of some of these tariffs.
Right, Stephen. And of course, all of these developments seem to have also overshadowed the other big event. And we all thought markets were going to be focused solely on the Fed's upcoming decision this Thursday. Help us bring it back to center here and actually help us remind some of our listeners that this is also going to be a big movement for the markets also. How are you preparing for the Fed's upcoming decision? And do you think that they might actually cut rates? Because there have been questions raised as to whether or not the Fed will lower policy rates out in the U.S. on Thursday morning.
I think it's interesting that you brought that up because there is that divide on the FOMC, JP. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important thing that we have to gauge here was what the last FOMC minutes were telling us. And it suggests there's a divide. Sure, there are some. And actually, the more senior and the more important elements are looking for a 50 basis point cut. But the majority are actually voting for no cut. We think the Feds are going to deliver a 25 basis point cut. That'll be enough. That'll be enough to serve the market's purpose right now, as the U.S. economy isn't really negative. And this could be viewed as a pro-cycle preemptive cut. But what the markets are going to be focused on primarily is if the Federal Reserve Board, or better, Chair Powell, continues along the narrative of tentative mid-cycle easing. Now, if he brings that up again, I think you're going to see a lot of these asset classes that are hoping for a deluge of policy easing, like gold, possibly equity markets, these would be rather sensitive to the Fed's not easing. However, equity markets less so because we're on this positive tangent of trade war detente. Gold, on the other hand, could fall quite significantly because the most important driver for gold in 29 has been lower for longer real interest rates. So this could really hurt gold's glittering attraction.
So a lot of things to watch out for with regards to these new developments, especially from the oil space, and also gold perhaps on a watch for possible correction if this does come to pass. We'll have to leave it there, though. So Mr. Stephen Innes, market strategist for the Asia Pacific with AxiTrader, thank you so much for joining us today on MarketView here on Primetime. We appreciate the time, sir.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.